Welcome to the season of harvest, the season of increase, the season of prosperity, the season of success, the season of supernatural breakthrough. Welcome to the new world.
Brother Rail.
Hey, Brother Mike.
How you doing, my brother?
Doing good, man.
Oh, my goodness. It's good to hear you.
Hey, man. It's good to be heard, brother. How you been?
Man, been well, man. Welcome back. Welcome back to the New World Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's good to be back.
It's wonderful. It's a beautiful thing, man. God is just shifting the momentum in the spirit. It just gets better and better, man. The story we're part of is just a beautiful story.
Yes, God is so good, man. What he's doing in this time and this season. As you know, yesterday was the beginning of the new year for the Jewish calendar.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. It's beautiful, man. And it's interesting that you just touched on that because, you know, what's beautiful is when they start that, they blow the trumpets. And when they blow the trumpets, they believe it signifies to Satan that the end has already come and that his defeat is near. And it just reminds me of when Paul talks about, you know, tongues and how the signification of the sound in the tongues is almost like an instrument. So for me, that relays that when we're in the spirit, praying in our heavenly language. Imagine what that's doing to the enemy. Imagine what I just got to be. I got to be clear. I got to be honest. Imagine right now, praying in the spirit. Right now, praying in the spirit. Imagine how it's tormenting the enemy, and signifying prophetically the manifestation of his end.
Wow, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah, these first 2 days are so important. It's a beautiful thing. Like you said, you know, this is, like you said, it's the start of a new year. And it's a beautiful month. It's such a beautiful month because this is the feast. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the fulfillment of the fullness that they celebrate. And it's just a beautiful thing to be alive and aware of that.
Right. Yes. Yeah, because it's so much going on in the world. And to have an understanding, you know what I'm saying, that these are some significant times. And God get ready to make his decisions, you know, during these times, man, is a beautiful thing to be able to be a part, to be aware, to be able to have his word as our final authority. Man,
amen.
It's awesome.
It's powerful. It's so powerful. That is a beautiful thing. And, you know, before we read the scripture, it's, oh, God, you know, man, brother, I'm so glad you brought that up because it's making my spirit jump. The Bible says, blessed are those that understand. Blessed and favored are those that understand the Feast of Tabernacles, that understand God's seasons. And just like David had the sons of Issachar with him, and those men knew their strength was in the fact that they knew what Israel ought to do. So David had men on his team that knew the seasons, they understood the times, and this was the key to giving Israel victory. And I believe this is the key to give the church the victory, is them understanding the seasons of God. And it's all tied into the Feast of Tabernacles. Understanding the seasons of God is so important.
Yes, and you know, we're coming into a season, what we would call here in the United States, a harvest time.
That is correct.
And if you look at the number four, anytime you see the number four in the Bible, four means a place of harvest. Harvest is about to happen, and the season is about to change when you see that number four. So, being that we're September, October, November, December, this is four.
My God. My God.
The season is about to change. We're getting ready to walk into some harvest that's been set aside for us for a time such as this. Nobody but God. He said he had it. He said, but it's to a king to find it and to search out a matter. Yes, sir.
I don't even know how we got on this. You know, Brother Darrell, here's it. Oh, man. I was just going to let the spirit flow. It's interesting because here's this season that we're going into. It's a unique season. And, you know, I like to tell people, look, you know, people have promoted and perverted and this thing called a prosperity gospel, mm-hmm. right? But what Jesus did on the cross was the manifestation of true harvest and true prosperity. And let me break that down.
Okay.
During this time, they have something, the Jewish people have something called water libation. And what they do is they pour out water and wine at the same time into vessels. And by doing that, then they read a psalm. And it gives them right to claim not only salvation, but also prosperity in the coming season of an overflow of harvest. They're trusting God through his sacrifice of his blood, that it gives them a claim not only to be saved, but also to prosper. And I tell you that they receive more rain. This is supernatural. It happens for them. They receive just as much rain as London.
Wow.
Supernatural. And these are prophetic significations that they did. Is it not now that gives me the full understanding of why when they pierced Jesus' side and water and blood came out at the same time. They said, truly,
yeah.
This was a sign.
Yeah.
Because he just fulfilled what they do when they're pouring out water and wine at the same time. Water and blood came from Jesus' side because he was that sacrifice. He was the drink offering that now provides prosperity and salvation for the generations. So they do this by rituals. You know, it's like a shadow, and they prosper because of it. How much more us that have the real fulfillment of the thing? We don't have a shadow any longer. We have the real thing. But see, the devil has so perverted this prosperity thing to where it pushes people away. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, there's no wealth that comes. It's not built off of a dollar. It's built off of human sacrifice. Wow. It's built off of blood.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter. That's the money is what we see. But it doesn't matter on any, even off on a corporate level, on entertainment level, any sphere of influence you see in society, it's always built on blood. It's always built on human sacrifice. Wealth and prosperity is always built on blood.
Wow.
And so it's so spiritual, but we have a claim. If we're aware of the fact that by the sacrifice of what Jesus did, the water and the blood,
mm-hmm.
we now have a claim mm-hmm. for wealth.
Yes.
We now have this human sacrifice who by Jesus. It's not enough for our own sacrifice. Jesus, who became our sacrifice, us being aware of that, we now have a claim to say, Lord, your water and blood was poured out. I claim prosperity in this season. Right now in this season, it's timing, because it's all about timing.
Yes.
You know, we could try and do this out of time. It wouldn't work. But now, with how things align timely in the universe, these feasts align timely with the universe. Now is the time to lay a claim for an abundance in the next season. It's spiritual as well as practical. Mm-hmm. And we have a claim, and it's understanding the times. So now we have a claim and say, Lord, your blood, your water was poured out, and your blood was poured out. I lay a claim to a fulfillment, a fullness of harvest in this season,
yeah.
to beyond what I can think or imagine, mm-hmm. based off of the sacrifice that you sacrifice. And it's always built on blood. Always.
That's good. That's good.
God is good.
God is good. Oh, man. Because you got to think about, you know, the outpouring of the blood. Not only is it prosperity. See, money has the lowest currency when it comes down to spiritual things.
Correct. That is correct.
In the heavenlies, had to be shed. In order for the debt to be paid, blood had to be shed.
That is correct.
But it had to be of one who was born of a virgin.
My God.
It had to be one that was born of a virgin. That's why when the angel came and told Mary, she said, "How would it be that I know it's not a man?"
My God.
So the Holy Spirit had to impregnate her with the word. She got pregnant with the word, so the word became flesh and dwelt among men and walked among men.
Hallelujah.
Because the word had to go to the cross. It was only the word that could go to the cross, Brother Mike. It was
only the word.
It was the only word. Be it unto us according to the word.
Oh, my God.
Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health. Even as your soul prosper. Come on, somebody. Yes, sir. Nobody but the word. Hey, it had to be a man. It had to form like a man, but it was wrapped in the
word. Oh, my God.
Somebody. Nothing but the word.
Oh, my God.
Be it unto me according to the word. Yes, sir. God's word, man, has the final authority in our life.
Oh,
lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways so he can direct your path according to the word.
Oh, my Jesus. Oh, my
Jesus. Yes, sir. It had to be the word.
Oh, that's
it
good.
It had to be the word. The word. The word was wrapped in blood. That man. Had muscles like man, looked like man, but it was wrapped in the word. So it went to the cross looking like a man, but it was the word. Because the word dwelt among men, walked among men, but it was nothing but the word. And when the blood came out, the blood poured out through the word.
My God.
So the men be able to see it is written.
My God.
He kept telling the devil, it is written.
It
is written. You got to listen to this. It is written. He never even had to go back besides to say, it is written.
Jesus Christ.
It is written. He was the living word. He was the living word. Not a word, or he wasn't the letter of the law. He was the written word, standing in the full manifestation. See, they was looking for a savior like a king of the day. They didn't know he was coming written in the word, that he could dwell amongst us. Now he dwell within us. And see, that's one thing he was talking about in this good book, you know what I'm saying, trying to keep that thing secret. He said he was the stone that the builders rejected.
Rejected. My God.
The ones that the builders rejected. The builders were those who Hiram, Abiff, who were building the Solomon's temples. They rejected the word.
My God.
They rejected the word. Therefore, they wasn't able to receive all that they could have. And see, that's one of the things God wants us to do. God wants us to be able to receive all that he has, not to be blocked by other things, because some of those things block us from getting to what he has called us and destinated for our lives.
That is
correct. So many people, that's why you see when they get tied up into these things, they go after the money, and so they make sacrifices to these idols. And they do these things to these idols, and they go and take these secret oaths because they are trying to get things, material things. But God is saying, I got that and more. If you allow me to be able to come into your life and you suck with me, understand that I am the vine and you are the branch. And if you dwell in me, then I'll dwell in you. And all you got to do is lean not to your own understanding. And everything else will work out once you get into the word.
That's correct.
Yes, sir.
That is correct. So powerful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Where are you in that church already?
It's the word.
Oh, my God. Where two or three together. God is here.
God is in the midst.
He's here.
God is in the midst.
It's an overflow.
In this season. Now this is the season. Now the season is shifting. There's a shifting taking place. There's a shifting because there's been an outpouring of the blood and the water in the spirit. When people are now beginning to realize that they don't have to live by the letter, but they have to understand that it is the word that they're living by, the living word. So now when you begin to speak in tongues, you are actually lining up with what the word has said.
That's correct.
So the devil is understanding that now his time is coming to an end because the sons of God and the daughters of God are coming together to understand the word, and they are understanding that it is their time, it is their place, and they have a rightful place in the body of Christ to be able to have power over Satan and over the serpents and all of those that are up under him, his angels of light, and all of them are up under our feet, and we tread on them because of the word.
My Jesus.
Because of what God did on Calvary. Ooh. We have that power to pull and to trust in God and understanding that his word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish those things that he have already said it shall come to pass. It is written. It is written in the word.
Oh, man.
Yes, ain't nobody like Jesus.
Oh, man.
Ain't nobody like Jesus. This is our time. This is our season. Man.
It is.
This is our season. See the That's great correct. Manifestation. Hallelujah. Sons and daughters of God, this is our time and our season to see the great manifestation of God's written word Hallelujah. In our lives.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We receive it. Oh, man. Lord, we receive your impartation. We receive all that you have for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And we
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, man. To our listeners listening, receive it. It's transferable. The word is transferable. There's over the internet, over any other transmission. We see that in scripture. You can receive it, however, the word travels. Through distance, faith can be received and imparted. So step out and just reach it. Just receive it. And then all you got to do is receive it. Take it, reach out. What we're sharing now is available for you now in this season. This is the timing of God. Reach out and receive it. It's for you. Christ paid the price for it. It's the fulfillment of everything he has for your life. Reach out, touch it, and receive it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just read a verse of scripture real quick. Oh, man. We the man. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Ain't nobody like Jesus.
Let's get started.
Ain't nobody like it. Yay. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
My God. Woo! My God.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Yeah. Isaiah 11. It says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The seven spirits of God, the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, the cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaning child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is where we're going, people of God, to the resting place of God. We're going to a place of perfection. We're going to a place of peace. We're going to a place where it's just the presence of love, where fear has been ridden of and hope has been fulfilled and perfection has been obtained. This is where we're going. The full foundation and a solid rock of faith. This is where we're going. The abundance of love. This is where we're going. And with that being said, I would like to welcome my guest again, Brother Darrell. It's a pleasure to have you once again on the New World Podcast.
Oh, my Hey, Lord. Brother Michael, thank you for having me once again. I just take this time to honor you. Thank you for what you're doing and allowing God to use you in this stream and this atmosphere. And to all those that are listening, once again, thank you as well for just tuning in.
You're most welcome, my brother. It's such a pleasure. Oh, man, I can already, the atmosphere has shifted. The atmosphere has already shifted. The atmosphere has been made ready. Oh, man, the trumpets have been signified, they've been blown, and there's been a shift. The environment is ready. It's ready to produce. It's ready to move forward. Yes. I feel it, and God is just taking over. We are going to an arena of Shekinah glory, and with that, every dark thing is being turned over and being exposed because God is now about to show the real thing. God is now about to bring the fullness of what was meant to be established and will be established. And by the words of our lips, by the revelation of the Spirit, by the revelation of Jesus Christ, this is where we're going. And it's a beautiful thing. We had an opportunity to have dialogue and conversation prior about the Masonic order. And it's such a beautiful thing. I think it's only right and proper that we continue this dialogue. The first one was so rich, and there was so much that we still wanted to touch on. So I want us to continue on. I think we were having a conversation, and you told me you had a wonderful opportunity to minister. And I want you to talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind, and also give the breakdown of the congregation as well.
Okay, so I was in a place ministering, and there was a congregation about 300 to 200 people, and then it began to tape off. And 65% of the congregation was Freemasons. And I began to share with them that, you know, what God was sharing with me during my time of studying and praying is talking about how the Freemason spirit was standing over the family, and how this spirit brings other spirits and other things that attaches itself to a person once they join, because God said not to swear or to do anything of that in secrecy. And so when they take this oath of secrecy, one of the things is that, you know, that I was able to see that there's a few things that come, and there may be others that as well that attaches itself. One of them was premature death. Another one was forms of cancer, miscarriage, sickness that is unknown to man. And, you know, some would go off and be financially independent, but others mostly, like a time, seem to have this here spirit of poverty that would attach itself to them. And so in the course of the message, I just shared with them how I was in the days of studying before God and just asking him in my fasting and praying that I knew a lot of men who were Freemasons, and that I knew a lot of men who had good hearts that were Freemasons. And the Lord's response to me was that he wasn't looking for their good hearts, but it was their souls that he wanted to be saved. Mm-hmm. And that he loved them. Tell them that he loved them regardless of the situation, that he loved them, and that this was a time to make a conscious decision. For many, it was their first time ever hearing anything or anyone to ever to minister on this particular subject, because a lot of times what happens, we will find that there are ministers who are a part of the Freemason as well. Mm-hmm. But this spirit, it hangs out in the churches and it goes back and forth liberally with freedom to go back and forth through the churches. And what happens, mm-hmm. you see that there will come a falling away. The spirit allow you to go in and out of the church for a little while. Then it takes you away from the church, and it draws you away from the church because things that happens through this here religious spirit, which is also hanging mm-hmm. out. And as it began to increase, it's just like the Bible said that Satan comes to sift us as wheat. And so mm-hmm. it would begin to have a little smaller situation, and then it'd be like a time and a season that there'd be a falling away. Some eventually make it back to the church, but they don't go to church that are word filled churches that are actually mm-hmm. word filled is not a place where they would want to hang out. So mm-hmm. that's when you see a lot of people, they will actually begin to find other people of like spirits that would hang out with them, and then they would contrive to control the church. And then it becomes more other things that would come. It all came through with this spirit with Freemasonry. And some don't understand that Freemasonry is also a part of the Eastern Star, which is the women version of the Freemasons. So in light of the matter, a lot of times people shy away from the word and understanding that, you know, God loves us and he has given us liberty to be able to do things. Understand me, you have liberty in God, but there are laws that have been set up. There are things that have been in place, and God's mm-hmm. grace is sufficient for us, but his word is for us. His written word is the final authority for us. Understand this. I have the liberty to go on top of any building and walk on the building. But when I begin to decide to jump off the building, I'll go against the laws that have been put in place on earth called gravity. Mm-hmm. And when I go against that law, even though I have liberty in Christ, I'm coming down to the ground.
That's correct.
Because the law of thrust is not a law that I'm actually exercising in. I'm actually still exercising the law of gravity. So
yep.
when we come under the law of the letter to instead of the law of grace, a lot of times we will see that people will try to use the grace and use it in a way that they can take advantage of the grace. And Paul said, God forbid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
God forbid that that we take. That men are saved, and then there is after salvation. That's where a lot of people stop, right there with salvation. Then after the salvation, that's where we actually need to continue to read and study to show ourselves approved. Because a lot of times what I have known is that the Masons, they have their own Bible. So many men will understand and begin to read and study the Mason's Bible instead of reading the written word and become familiarized with the written word from God's standpoint instead of trying to connect dots with Freemasonry.
Yeah. That is very well said, my brother. Very, very, very well said. It is a very important for us to understand. And like we talked about this in a prior episode, is that God has a high order established, and the enemy has sought out and has perpetrated that. And a lot of times in people's journey for success and achievement, they want to utilize whatever works, whatever brings results. But God's word is the only answer that we need. It is actually the only answer. And we just have to be willing to allow him to work on our hearts, allow him to unleash the grace and know that that is enough, and be willing to be the sacrifice that he's called us to be. I want us to touch a little bit on some of the topics we talked about before. We talked about a gentleman called Joseph Smith. We looked at his life. And he was a Mormon pastor, a leader, founder of the Mormon church. But I wanted to look a little, just take some background on a man's life. And I think it's interesting, you know, even before that, I want to share a story. And I don't share the story all the time, but I will share it. I won't give any names or the organization where this was at. But I knew a gentleman, older Caucasian gentleman, that was actually part of the Rosicrucian Order. And I had heard through the grapevine previously when I was working at a certain company that this gentleman was part of this order from some very knowledgeable people. And this gentleman I learned from some very reliable sources was one of the highest paying staff there, specifically on where I was working, was getting paid more than some of the leaders there, had been with that specific company from when it was founded and was there in the development stages of that company. And through close relations and being close to this gentleman, but he worked as you would think it was just a normal staff, you know, just a normal, you know, employee. But through close work and getting to know this gentleman, he himself revealed to me that he had in fact been part of the Rosicrucian Order, very similar to the Masonic Order, the Freemason Order. And he expressed to me some things, you know, of his history and his experience. He was part, you know, of a chapter and was an officer there, and he took his discipline and his studies very seriously and climbed up very, very high, and said he had a real opportunity to join what people would call the Illuminati. He said people talk about that, but he got a real invitation, a real invitation to go higher. And he expressed to me that he declined. But even before that, he was giving me names, different teachers and different people, and that I looked up and verified, you know, this was like, you know, esoteric type of stuff, you know. And he said, and I didn't want to press him too much, you know, because I understand, you know, I understand the limitations. And but he did share something. He did talk in code with me, and in my attempt to understand more of why he didn't go further, why didn't he take the step, because he already had, you know, went so high. Why did he decide not to go further? And he told me that to go further, it would be like you're dancing to the tune of a different heartbeat. And it took me time to understand what he meant. But it's like when you, if you're dancing to the tune of a different heartbeat, that means it's like somebody else is inside of you. It's like something else has to take over in order for you to go further. It's basically right. what he was saying. I continue to ask if he knew of any other people, because I also heard that there were people that were in the circle that had even moved further. And I asked him questions about this, and he told me that he did have friends that moved on and did go further. And he expressed to me some of the things that they were capable of doing. And some of those things that they were capable of doing, and I explained why I'm breaking this down in a second. Some of the things that they were capable of doing was using their body as a vessel to identify resources in the earth. Right. And he verified that this could be done because he knew of people, and he gave me specific examples of this being done, of people being able to use their bodies, him seeing it himself, friends that went on to be able to identify things in the earth. Why am I sharing this? We talked about Joseph Smith, right? And some people may listen and say, oh, that sounds crazy. That sounds wacky. That sounds conspiracy. But let me tell you, Joseph Smith was somebody, as he was what we would call getting enlightened, or was becoming a mystical adept, you know, somebody that was climbing the ranks. He was able to identify treasure in the earth. And as he did this, specific societies, treasure hunting groups, and organizations employed Joseph Smith to find specific treasures, artifacts, in the earth, and he was able to do just that.
Oh,
why am I sharing this? Because to some people, this might sound like mysticism. It might sound like, oh, this sounds, you know, wacky. It sounds too, you know, spiritual. Too, you know, supernatural. It doesn't sound real. But on the other side of that coin, I want us to realize that the spiritual world is very real. These things happen, whether you believe them or not. And even within our faith, we see in the Bible supernatural things happening. Why am I sharing? Because this is a counterfeit. On the other side of the coin is a real thing. Here we see a counterfeit. We see supernatural things that are happening to identify and identify resources that the enemy is using it. And these are, you know, leaders. But on the other side of the coin, God wants us to tap into the height of spirituality. He does. But if I'm to be honest, the Antichrist spirit has robbed the church. And that spirit is a spirit that seeks to take away from the power and the anointing of God that's supposed to be on the believer's life to do exploits and to do the supernatural that has not yet been accomplished. We read it all over scripture, and we think it was just for their day, but it wasn't. Because I tell you, if you look at the history books and you look at people like Smith Wigglesworth, you know, John E. Lake, people that God used supernaturally, that were at the height of spirituality, we see supernatural things happen, but they paid a price for it. They became the sacrifice. And I tell you, in our nation, what's robbing us, the Antichrist spirit, the spirit that the enemy uses to rob great men and women of God, is the spirit of fornication, the spirit of adultery, this spirit of Jezebel that does not allow us to tap into the more. And God has taken us into a place where he's saying, my church, come out. Like he said in Revelation, come out. I need your eyes. I need your soul. I need your body and your spirit. This is where God is taking us. It's to a place of perfection. And he's going to do it. My deliverance is tied up in this as well. He is taking us to this place. Why? Why? How do I know this? Because there are two things that are important in a believer's life when we talk about the supernatural. that allows the world to see the abundance of God. The first thing is transmission of virtue. Virtue is transmitted, and virtue is transmitted by touch. Mm. So I'll give an example of this. When Jesus was walking, the woman said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. As soon as she touched him, virtue was transmitted from the cloth of Jesus into the woman's body, and the blood dried up.
Absolutely.
Virtue transmitted. It can be transmitted from not just skin to skin, but from skin to cloth to skin, or from it can be that is virtue. Second is the expression of glory. And the expression of glory only happens by words. That's the only sure way you know is by words. It's Paul said, I did not come with the eloquency of speech, but he said, I came with power. How did we know he came with power? Because what he was saying wasn't by the eloquency of how he was saying it. It didn't sound so good or so eloquent or so put together. He said, when I spoke, you heard power. When I spoke, power was demonstrated. So here we have two things. We have the transmission of virtue, and we have the expression of glory that happens through words. We're seeing a lot of expression of glory, which is great, but it must be combined. God is taking his church to a place where two are combined, and that's the transmission of virtue. And the enemy has used the Jezebel spirit, the spirit of fornication, to rob the church, rather that's through things like pornography or just what we allow to go through our eye gates, to rob us of the transmission of the consecration that God wants to release, an impartation to a generation, which is very spiritual. And we have brought our experience down to the word of God as if, because this is not happening anymore, that it doesn't mean that, you know, that we're not living out the fullness of what God is supposed to do. That's not for our time. No, the church, God has taken the church to a place where we are going to be that sacrifice, where we're going to live up to the expectation of his word. And this is the season for it. And the grace is so available. Yes. It is. It's a beautiful thing. And because it's ready to manifest the sons of God. And I'm including women with that. Spiritual beings. He was the first fruit. And there is grace available to bring us into this place of perfection. Now, we also touched on Rosenkreuz before and how he shaped culture. There are seven major spheres of influence that shape culture, and the enemy has perpetrated this. Religion, government and politics, business, economy, education and science, media, culture and entertainment, and family. These things make up any society, any major society. Those are the seven major. There are more, but these make up the core of society. And the enemy has used them to perpetrate his values, because whoever sits at the top of these spirits of society, the culture is the culture of whatever is at the top of there is transcended to the general population. God has now taken us to a place where he needs his people to reign in life, because as they reign, he's reigning. Who's ever he wants us, people filled with who he is, to reign.
Yes.
In life. It might sound crazy, but this is where God is taking his church. He's taking us to a place of the height of spirituality, because we've dumbed down spirituality. We must be practical, but the spiritual has to infuse the natural. We can't be more natural than we are spiritual. And we cannot make an excuse for not seeing the supernatural and the spiritual happen in our day. God has now laid out our blueprint and saying that he wants us to be the sacrifice. This is where we're going. This is where God, and by God's grace, we will get there. Brother DeRoy, can you touch on that a little bit? Just the fact that we really are going to a place where God wants to express his gifts, his nature, and his character through us so that the world will know.
Yes, Brother Michael, one of the things I find interesting that, you know, how our cultures is shaped by those actual pillars of society. And being in this time, we're seeing how media is shaping our way of thinking, and a lot of injustice is going on in society now. And it's not that it haven't been going on or hasn't been going on since time began, but this is in the time where it is being shown, where all can see how people are being mistreated and how people of minority are being mistreated and how they don't value the life of the minority as they do as others. So in this time, you begin to see these spirits that are controlling the media and these social cultures that come down through the pipelines, and they're saying that it is okay. But God is saying that even though they saying it's okay, he's saying, I shall have the last say. Because in the end, we have the first judgment, and then we have the second judgment. And so when people think that they're getting away with things by becoming a part of associations and being able to make sacrifices for themselves to be successful and using what we call wickedness, it's like people who know the word of God, who take the word of God and twist it and not use it, that becoming a wicked thing. He wasn't talking to those who were sinners. Mm-hmm. He was talking to those who had come into the understanding of salvation. But then they would take that salvation, then they would go in places, in high places. See, a lot of times people forget about this. That's just the face. But it's those wickedness and powers and principalities in high places that is behind the face. So we look at a person that sits in the seat of an office, and we would say, oh, it is that person, where it is that spirit that is behind the face of that person.
That's right.
And so that's why one thing that we must do as believers, we must be able to forgive those who trespass against us.
That is so good. Oh, man. I'm just going to jump right into it. Just based off of what you said, I believe it's a great segue, because what you just mentioned about understanding the word, right, and then twisting it and taking it into high places, we see this modeled when we talk about we talked previously about the Temple of Solomon, and we talked about the establishment that God built through Solomon, and he gave him perfect understanding, perfect wisdom of how the earth was meant to function, which ultimately came from the momentum of his father David and the blueprint that David laid out. But God allowed Solomon to see it in his day, which is the momentum of the blessing of a generation before him. I would encourage people listening to go listen to the first podcast we did on this call, the Masonic Order, and you'll get more details about the Temple of Solomon. But it's interesting, because if we look at the history of where we talk about some of these, the secret order being established, it was established through a lot of it came from the motherland, Africa, and get more specific, it came from Egypt. Now, let me break this down. People wonder, how does this link up? Guess what? Solomon, God is interesting how things line. We're just talking about women and the spirit of fornication and how this has robbed the greater glory that God wants to reveal. I want our listeners to understand that Solomon has traces lineages, dynasty in Egypt. And people say, well, how is that? How did Solomon, how did his dynasty spread to Egypt? There was this queen called Queen Sheba. Historically, if you look, Solomon had a lineage through Queen Sheba. So Queen Sheba came there, but King Solomon did not miss the opportunity with Queen Sheba. Women was his downfall. But ultimately, when we talk about the knowledge of good and evil, that dynasty and the understanding that Solomon had was spread to Egypt. Yes, it was. It was spread to Egypt because Queen Sheba, if you look at the geographic location of where she was, historically, it shows that specifically where she was Egypt. Was Egypt. She was in Egypt. Interestingly enough, if we break down this down even more, man, whew, this is getting serious now. If we break this down even more, I want to read just a little bit, because there was a gentleman by the name of Dr. G. James. He received a Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Theology, and a Master's of Arts degree at Durham University School. He was like the only black person there. And after conducting research at the University of London, he received a doctorate at Columbia University, USA. Then he received teacher training in mathematics, Latin, and Greek. For 2 years, he was a professor of logic and Greek language at Livingstone College in North Carolina, and later taught at the University of Arkansas. He wrote a book called The Stolen Legacy. And he said the Greeks were not the author of Greek philosophy, but that the people of North Africa, commonly called Egyptians, while working at the University of Arkansas, this is what he said. But there's not a copy of this book in any university library. there's no statue of Dr. James, but it's interesting as he started to reveal that the Greek age, the philosophy of the Greeks, that it was actually stolen from Egyptian society. As he was revealing this thing, he died with no reason of knowing why, but it's believed that he was murdered. It's believed that he was murdered because of the things he revealed, but other research confirmed and affirmed the things that he shared. Because what they started to reveal in the Egyptian sacraments was that is what they called like a first form of like what you would say like of teaching or like a salvation. It was like developed by people, and what it simply was the knowledge of good and evil. And they regarded, and it's interesting because the Egyptian system of sacraments was also a secret order whose membership was acquired by the admission and vow, and I quote, of secrecy. All newcomers were trained viva voce according to different levels. That means they were taught by words. They weren't allowed to write things down. In these conditions of secrecy, Egyptians developed encrypted writings and teaching systems and forbade the members of the order to record what they learned. After several thousand years of education, and I quote, banned for the Greeks, they were allowed to come to Egypt for educational purposes. First, this happened after the Persian conquest of Egypt, and then as a result of the conquest by Alexander the Great. From the 6th century BC to Aristotle's death, Greeks did everything they could to use a chance to learn Egyptian culture. Most of them learned directly from Egyptian priests. But after they were conquered by Alexander the Great, royal temples and libraries were stolen, and Aristotle turned the Library of Alexandria into a research center. Here we see the first attempt to gain knowledge of Egyptians without recognizing their authorship. So Aristotle was said to have written himself so many books that physically no person can write in their life. Naturally, these books were based on information and materials from these African libraries. The next argument against Greeks having developed the philosophical knowledge for which they are celebrated is the attitude of the Greek government towards these sciences. The government considered these teachings foreign by origin and treated them accordingly. So it's interesting that these, I mean, and there were so many great, we talk about Socrates, Aristotle, mm-hmm. that took from this culture, but I'm hoping that the connections are starting to be made, because it was a secrecy, it was a higher order that was established, and it was simply the knowledge of good and evil. Let me make the connections further, because guess where the Greek age, Greek stole these teachings, this knowledge from Egypt, this higher order, right? The Roman Empire took it from the Greek age. The American Empire took it from the Roman Empire. So we see, but not only that, they also took it directly from people in Africa that came and established the order here in America. So here we're seeing the connections of something that was good and evil, which the Bible has been talking about since the beginning, the knowledge of good and evil because of sin. And we see that at the root of the perversion, the root of robbing God of that glory, man, I just had to talk straight, was with the woman. From Adam and Eve to Solomon and Queen of Sheba. I hope people can start to see the connection. And it's not women I'm talking about specifically, because women is not issues, but you know, it's man and woman. But I'm just talking about the spirit that's robbing God of the greater glory. And moving forward, we must be aware and alert because of the impartation that God wants to impart in the earth. But Darrell, can you touch on that a little bit?
Yes. Well, it is good that you bring up those topics and being able to make that connection, because when we do go back and look at history, we see that, you know, even to this day, you know, a lot of the things that the Greek were able to do, they did a lot of great things. However, they took what was actually in from the Egyptians, and understanding that the Egyptians had this knowledge, that they would try to actually take it and make it become Greek. And if you even now look, you will see that even the Bible, in the beginning, though, all the origins of the Bible was written in Hebrew. And now we have the New Testament, which we understand that they interpreted and put it into the Greek.
Yes, so, that's correct.
In response to that, we have people now who are becoming to an understanding that, or like you were saying, that even with Solomon had influence in Egypt, and with the influence in culture that is going on today, people are beginning to become more aware of understanding that they have significance in the Bible beyond that what has been displayed in churches and in institutions around the world.
That's right.
So the dots have been connected, but now the thing is, with the Freemasonry spirit and understanding that it has this thing that a lot of people don't quite get, how it's a spirit. It is not an actual person. It's not a woman. It's not a man, but it's a spirit. So dealing with the spirit mm-hmm. of the matter, that's what we're coming after. We have to come after the spirit of the matter and being able to understand that where God is at, God is saying that he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's the king over David and over Solomon. He is the king that shall live forever, by him sending his son Jesus. And by that, we are understanding that now when we enter into this rest, understanding that Jesus, when he went to the cross and he said, "It is finished," he was talking about the finished works of the cross. So now we no longer lean to our own understanding and talking about what we can do to be successful, but we understand that we lean into his finished works of the cross, that we may be able to connect the dots through the cross, instead of trying to connect the dots through what history was beginning to tell us and beginning to say to us, but now we begin to go back to the cross, because the finished works of the cross said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it said the Word dwelt with us and became flesh. So now we're beginning to connect the dots again back to understanding that it is Jesus who's actually the one who is trying to bring all the pieces together. See, because the head cornerstone is the thing that is saying that is the foundational thing for anything to stand. It got to have a head cornerstone. So he's saying that I am the foundation that men must come back to. Men must be able to understand that it is him who has called us into this place, into this new place of grace. Because what happened so many times, we left out the grace part. And we began to study the law and never understood that it was the grace. So with the Freemason, it wasn't free, because with Jesus, he paid the debt. And he then said, there is no more sin debt. There's no, because the debt had been paid on the cross. So many men are saying, so the wages of sin is death. But Jesus said, when I went to the cross, I paid that particular place. So now we begin to understand from a cross perspective. So we stand from the cross and we look over into this Freemason thing. And we say, okay, it doesn't line up with what scriptural is saying to us. So we know that this thing here is not of God. So we stand back on the Word, because it's the Word that we have in the end and in the beginning. Because he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah.
A lot of times, what happens? Man. What really happens, men don't give God place in their life to truly be able to see what it is that he is trying to do, because of other things that are coming into our lives that's taking up our time. Once again, media is one of the things that is being coming down the tube and through the pipe to us, whether it's through the internet, whether it's through radio, whether it's through television, and we're not telling God's vision. We're telling the vision of what the people want instead of what God is saying. So we have people now who are getting aware and using these here platforms to be able to bring people back towards God.
Man.
And I thank you, Brother Mike, for being able to bring more clarity and being able to bring an understanding that a lot of times what happened is, over the years, of course of years, people would try to hide this information. And I'm so glad that you was able to talk about the difference with the dots of, you know what I'm saying, the Illuminati, and understanding that it's not just one thing. I had men to come and say, well, the Freemason is a part of not an Illuminati. It's a different thing. Well, that's because it's a different, it goes deeper. See, most 33rd, and they won't go to the third degree. They'll stop there and say that's enough, that a master builder is enough. That's all a man need to be, is a master builder. But once again, they reject the actual head cornerstone, the master builder, who is Jesus. Even because, as you were saying earlier, emphasize on dancing to a different heartbeat. See, once your heartbeat is tuned with Jesus, anything else is wicked. Anything else is wicked. It's not of God. Most people don't get that. So if you're dancing to a different heartbeat, outside of the heartbeat of understanding that Jesus is Lord, and that he is your Lord and Savior, and then you allow him to be able to come past salvation, because you're now getting a foundation. Salvation is the foundation. That's the foundation. Then allow him to build upon that foundation. And the more we allow him to build and seek, some things don't happen, as Jesus told the disciples, unless you fast and pray.
Yeah.
We must worship God in spirit and in truth. A lot of people just want to worship, and they don't quite get understanding that worship is obedience.
Man.
So back to what you were saying, In conclusion, I believe that there's coming a time where men are really going to begin to cry out to God, and they're going to have to see for themselves that God loves them, and He said that He would never turn His back upon us. He's always there. He's that father in the parable of the prodigal son, standing there with his arms wide open, waiting for us to make up our mind, to make our decision to come back home.
Amen. I really do believe that. I really, really do believe that. And Brother Durrell, you were touching on so many things that were so powerful. I want our listeners to understand. When Brother Durrell was talking about, when we were talking about the links from, you know, from King Solomon to Egypt to the rest of society, and the exposure of both the word of God, the principles of God, but also the knowledge of evil. So both were at play, and God came and finished the work and showed that, I want to break it down more, is that His work is complete. He fully connected the dots and showed that, no, this is not the way. He overturned the perversion that the enemy was spreading through the world, but people are still following that perversion. They look at church and they look at Bible, and some people look like they know, they feel like they have more knowledge than what churches have to offer because they're in the end of this secrecy, but not knowing God has fulfilled the fullness of His wisdom and understanding, the manifold wisdom of what He accomplished, and He's good. He's finished it. So, man, Brother Durrell, I really thank you for taking the time. I just want to prophesy really quick, because I believe we're going into an age where God is bringing an apostolic move. It's going to be a move where He's actually calling people to be poured out like a drink offering, just as He was poured out. Paul said He was being poured out as a drink offering. There are people that God is calling to be poured out. He's calling them to be poured out, and by that, it's going to unleash the fullness of who He is, prosperity, goodness, and the fullness of who He is in this earth. God is calling people to culturize the environment, to be, he's calling forth an apostolic move of God. Even as the Roman Empire, they had apostles that culturalized it, that changed people's mindsets to the culture of them. God is saying, I'm calling people to bring forth My kingdom culture into the earth. And this is where we're headed. Do you have any finishing words, Brother Durrell, before we close?
I think that is a great season that we're headed to. And if this resonates with you, understand this, beloved. God loves you, and He wants to do you good and make you happy. He wants you to understand that He has already sent His Son, and He has done His work. He said, it is finished. And He said, on the right hand of the Father, He wished for you to come and to sup with Him. Spend a little time with God and begin to ask God for understanding so that you may be able to do what you need to do to get back in right standing with God. Beloved, wish you above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. Thank you, Brother Mike, for the opportunity. And it has been really, truly a blessing.
Thank you, Brother Durrell. It's been a wonderful time. God is good. We're thankful. Thank you, brother. Love you so much.
Yes, sir, man. We'll be talking with you soon.
Yes. God bless you.
God bless
you. Love you.
Love you, brother. All right.